If you want Colts talk all year long, you're in the right place.
Fires it upfield, caught over the middle, Michael Pittman Jr., there he goes! He's at the 40, he's at the 30, slips out of a tackle, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Michael Pittman Jr. takes it 75 yards to the house.
Big run, angling left, 40, he's at the 30, down the near sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Jonathan Taylor, a 49-yard gallop to Peter.
In the Indiana Union Construction Industry radio studio, let's get the podcast started.
Welcome into the official Colts podcast. My name is Jeffrey Gorman. Joined today by the voice of the Colts and the face of the Colts, I'd like to say.
Quite generous.
A little bit, but I mean, if I turn on the internet there and I say I want a story, boom, LO's face is right there. And in the middle of that, you have a speed bump or you have like a garbage bag in the middle of the highway that you can just see a diaper coming out the top.
Some debris.
A little debris in the middle of you two. What do you think, huh?
No, not at all. You're the glue.
You're the glue guy.
All right.
100%.
Hey, appreciate you guys
sitting by the way.
Yeah, right.
You're
there.
Right? You good?
Doing good here. You guys look great. Latte Lara's here. And by the way, good son. I'm not going to go into where you were, but wherever you went, go back more. You look great. Sun kissed.
Thank you. Get out of here.
Yeah.
No, go back more.
Get out of here.
It really was. It was the first time I'd gotten away since the end of the season, like for an extended period.
Yeah.
So it was really good. Perfect way to recharge before the draft.
And Maytay, you got away too. You went over to Lawrence, I hear, for the afternoon.
Took 465 home with the sunroof open. It was great.
All right. We got a big week coming up. Obviously, thanks to Connor behind the camera there. We're going to get into a little bit of Connor. I mean, guy knows football, so I'm gonna drop some of his dimes here at the end of the show on a couple of things.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
It is a big show because it's draft week, so I want to start there. We got a lot to go over right here. Plus, I'm hosting a game show today. I've done it before, but I really wanted to do this back in the day. I wanted to be like the next.
Well, you've been on.
And you've appeared
you've
on
game
day.
Shows.
Yeah, I wanted to host like a pyramid. But anyway, just there's a flash card.
You
right
and Donnie
there.
Osmond.
Oh, I'd love it. Big teeth. How are you? But we are. We're gonna play a little draft.
You know, Pat Sajak's retiring, so I mean,
a little draft day game show coming up. But I want to start here. Latte Lara, where are you? Give me your day. When does it start?
Oh.
It's a late day. It's on Thursday. Tell me what your responsibilities are. You're going to be watching this draft. But like I said, it's a long day. Could end by about midnight. I mean, as far as the draft coverage goes.
Right, because you start at 8. Mm-hmm. That Thursday is a late one from Detroit. So we'll get in probably middle of the afternoon, get things rolling in terms of getting the draft room set up because we have Behind the Colts. We just released the second episode. The third episode will be completely dedicated to draft weekend and all of the draft coverage. So be behind the scenes in getting, you know, all of that going along with all of our production crew who makes that all happen from multiple cameras in the draft room, you know, the draft phone calls, which are always so fun to be a part of, and then just kind of watching everything unfold. And as soon as a pick is made, doing a deep dive to prepare for getting our first round pick. Hopefully in on Friday, usually get that one-on-one with him, but making sure that we're in on the Zoom calls with each pick over the course of the weekend. They're in the media room for coverage as well. So a lot of that in addition to, you know, all of what we're going to be doing for Behind the Colts, which is people had kind of asked about with the next pick. Now, with the next pick has been somewhat absorbed into Behind the Colts, and Behind the Colts is now a longer, overarching, more all-encompassing offseason series and includes a lot of components. So
more information coming up on that because the second episode was released. It's amazing. Behind-the-scenes look.
Yeah, so I'll be kind of multifaceted. Be doing some interviews and different things, and then also on the back end producing some stuff.
Maytay, you're hustling that day, you know, that day as well, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Where are you at on Thursday? Where are you at on Friday? Tell me what you're doing.
Yeah, we're doing draft radio coverage. So
I'm jealous. You guys got the fun assignment on
it's
Thursday.
It's fun. We're going to be on site. The Colts are hosting a season ticket holder, you know, party up at Top Golf up in Fishers.
Nice.
So that's where we're going to be at, and we'll get there kind of late afternoon, same as Lara on Thursday.
Will you team up?
You know, I'll be the great, you know, the Happy Gilmore, great golf ball whacker guy and steal some people's money.
Go to your home.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm going to go with you, by the way.
I know. Jeffrey's going to be
Chubbs
there.
Chubbs in this situation.
Chubbs, yeah. Jeffrey is Chubbs. You know, you need the one arm or the one hand there. But yeah, Rick Venturi is going to be there. Rick's the star of the show. He's the star of the weekend, obviously.
Does anyone prepare more than Rick Venturi?
I mean, 4 hours a day dating back to early January of film study. That's what I'm the traffic cop that day. I'm there to tee it up and keep him on schedule. But, you know, let the big dog eat, as they say, and that's Rick Venturi. So we're going to be doing draft coverage Thursday night and then all day Friday night, too, with rounds 2 and 3 on radio. the easiest that we're going to be on radio in Indianapolis on our flagship stations, but the easiest thing to do is just remember we're going to stream it, Colts.com, the Colts mobile app. That's where you need to go. So really looking forward to it. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Oh, it'll be a great week. Larry, you're going to have fun as well. I know it's a long weekend as well.
It's great, too, because it's almost impossible to be like locked in for every minute of the broadcast draft footage, which is on ABC and ESPN and all of that.
Right.
So it's perfect because you can follow everything when you're out and about, especially, you know, on Friday, Saturday, whatever it might be.
You're doing yard work on Thursday and Friday night, man. Or just, you know, you're drinking a beer on the back deck and you just kind of want to follow along with the Colts. And that's what it is.
It's watching a little playoff basketball, plus you got Colts coverage.
That's what it is. It's a Colts talk show with the backdrop of the draft.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. Like, how do all these picks relate to the Colts? How do they affect the Colts? You know, team A drafts a player and, oh, we play that team this year and that adds to their wide receiver core or whatever the case is. So we put everything into context to this franchise, kind of related to this market and where the Colts are at. So it's kind of a different perspective. So I think the diehard Colts fans probably enjoy it the most.
Diehard or not, I'm telling you what, you're going to have some fun on the air, especially on Thursday night at Topgolf. I will be there giving away a little bit of cash, too, that night.
Are you
giving away a little bit of cash? So that's always fun at a little tailgate type of atmosphere. But let's get to some football and what's going on here. When you look at this roster, guys, when you look at it, this is based predominantly on draft picks and undrafted draft choices. Follow me here on this. Follow me here. They predominantly re-signed their own in free agency this offseason. Yep. You know what they've done on both sides of the ball. Okay. So the importance of this thing, of the 64 players that are under contract at the end of last season, 40 were either draft picks or players signed as undrafted rookies. 23 of the 27 picks over the past 3 years are still with the team.
Wow.
That's a huge statistic right there.
Yeah.
23 of the 27 picks over the past 3 years are still with the team. LO, I'm going to start with you. With the philosophy that Chris Ballard has here for going on a decade now, the importance is right in this building in this upcoming draft. How important are the drafts year in and year out for a guy like Chris Ballard and the Colts?
It's significant because what did last year show you, even with all of the losses that you had over the course of the season? I mean, in terms of, you know, from the injury standpoint, you were still able to be a team that was right there in the thick of it with the opportunity to win a division title in week 17. And obviously that opportunity slipped away from you. But it reinforced that, you know, you got Shane Steichen and you've got the right leadership in there. And the majority of the roster you've built is exactly where you need to be. You have Anthony Richardson coming back. He's your biggest acquisition of this offseason,
right?
Like, not an acquisition, but in terms of having him back, a person who you did not have for the majority of last season. So how are you now putting that roster of guys, majority of whom are coming back, in a position to win now? I think there is a high priority on this is not a team that, oh, okay, it's a, you know, oh, we're going to build this for 2 or 3 years down the road and we're going to be competitive. This
totally is, agree.
You got to prove something right now. So get guys in the building who are going to make an immediate difference. And obviously you can look at various positions. Certain positions tend to take a little bit longer to develop in NFL history. So I think you are starting to target those difference-making type of positions in particular that are going to give Shane Steichen, you know, more assets to work with come game day.
Maytay.
I completely agree. And just to piggyback off of that a little bit, I mean, to Lara's point, you got – I've never seen it before, like we talked about last week on the podcast. I've never seen all 22 starters come back to an NFL team. And actually just – before we hit the record button on this, Jeffrey, you and I did the exercise. Looking at who's under contract right now, based on who's on the roster right now, the Colts have four players, a total of four players on their team right now that did not spend at least some time on their roster last year. Think about that.
Flacco.
Only four guys.
Joe Flacco, Raekwon Davis to start.
Yeah, those are the big two. Then you got some back into the roster guys, some practice squad guys that were on some other
consistency,
teams.
Consistency, I'm going to say that. That's
so to Lara's point, I think you're exactly right. The Colts have seven draft picks. It's time to supplement this roster, or maybe a better word is infuse it with top-end
amplify
talent.
Amplify it, yeah.
You know, I know we're going to get into later about, you know, how many draft picks the Colts have and should they trade up, should they trade back. And, you know, I think that's certainly all up for debate, and Chris Ballard is obviously way better at this than we are. But I think everybody would agree this roster is ready to go. It's built to win. And the thing that is separating it from really taking off and really being there in the thick of it in January and February is just more top-end talent. That's what I'm so looking forward to about this draft, because I think you're going to be in a position, whether you stay at 15, trade up or trade back to get a guy in the first round or even in the second round as well that can start and compete for a big role next year, even though you have all these starters coming back.
Guys, the experts out there have talked about the areas of need on this football team and you addressing them in the draft, or you addressing them in off-season free agency, or you address them in trades, whatever. But as far as going on this thing, drafting for need comes up. I want to go over a couple of recent draft picks, all right? Anthony Richardson.
Obviously a need.
In the need for a quarterback.
Right, right.
All right, year before, Alec Pierce needs some help in the wide receiver room. Went after Pierce. Kwity Paye, the edge, 21. Rocky Sin in 2019, needing cornerback help. 2018, Quentin Nelson starting the foundation of the offensive line.
Right.
So when we talk about have two critical needs, according to the experts, wide receiver and cornerback in this draft, how surprised are you if it's not one of those two with the Colts' first selection in this draft? And that's a key thing.
Wherever
Colts
that is.
First selection.
That's right. I'd be very surprised. I would, because of the history and the precedent that you just alluded to under Chris Ballard. And the reason why he's been able to do that, and maybe it's a happy coincidence, and maybe he might refute that a little bit, but that's what you have on paper, and that's what you have to go off the last couple of years. That's because he's done such a good job of putting the core of this team together, building it, and re-signing his own key free agents so that he doesn't have glaring holes that he has to fill in free agency. He can fill those perceived needs with top-end players in the draft, like Anthony Richardson and Alec Pierce and Kwity Paye. Go after the needs that you need in your roster, both in the immediacy and in the long term with your draft, because he wants to build the team through the draft. Develop your own guys, you know, target the guys that you love, that have high character, good leadership, kind of fit all the different criteria that Chris Ballard has set for the way he wants to build a team. Target those guys in the draft rather than taking a flyer on guys in free agency, because you never know how that's going to go. You never know how they're going to mesh within the locker room. So in that regard, I would be very surprised if the first pick didn't either A, catch the ball, whether that's a tight end or a wide receiver, or supplement a very young still secondary.
Okay, well, you said something there now. A little speed bump in there. We were talking about wide receivers in there. The question was wide receiver and cornerback, but that tight end position comes in. So I'm going to flip over and ask LO the very same thing.
I protected myself on that one, didn't I?
Shocked if a wide receiver / cornerback isn't the first pick taken over by the Colts.
No.
Yeah.
Not. I wouldn't be. I do think that you can also, based on the depth at wide receiver that there is, I think there is the opportunity to still get really strong talent in the
second
rounds.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm.
So that's part of why I don't you want to avoid a reach on a guy, right?
Yeah.
He always say that, and Chris has reinforced that he will take the best player available.
But for that guy to not – if you don't go receiver, for that guy not to be a cornerback, you wouldn't be surprised if it's not a corner – if it's not a receiver.
Right.
Okay.
Fair enough, because you never know, because there's other people out there, the other experts out there that are saying, hey, if there's an edge player available, he's going to grab him.
We know Chris loves.
And Chris Ballard also mentioned the P word about 1,000 times last Friday. That's protection.
Right, yeah. Right. There's the offensive line.
And you got all five offensive linemen coming back. But like I just said, part of what makes the draft so tricky is you're drafting based on your needs now and the immediacy there, but also keeping one eye on the future. And you can never, ever, ever have too many quality depth pieces along the offensive line. And this draft is very, very deep along the offensive line, especially at the tackle positions. So that might be a sneaky, tricky, you know, area the Colts decide to go. Let's say they pick at 15 and they draft an offensive tackle, Jeffrey. What would your reaction be?
If an offensive tackle comes off the board at 15, I'm looking at the players that it would be right in my head right now without mentioning them and thinking of their universities. I'd be like, okay, that's a good foundational signing.
Yeah. Because
I mean, for an offensive player. But the reason is I wouldn't be okay with it. Let me finish. I wouldn't be like – I'm saying the future of this Colts, whether it's right or on the left side, and the foundational position that the tackle plays and stuff like this, I'd be okay. But it's about right now. It's about a rookie contract. It's about a young quarterback coming back. So I understand the point. I would now I'm talking it out a little bit. Yeah, I think I would be a little bit.
You
like,
are on the couch. Yeah, right? Lay down. We'll talk it out.
You're right. You're right. I'm picking you up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to think, you know, long term. If you foresee Anthony Richardson as being the future of the franchise at the quarterback position, and he's going to be the guy for the next 10 years,
right?
How are you reinforcing this offensive line?
Help him settle in.
Yeah, right. And there's going to be like that new era, the evolution of this offensive line at some point. All those guys are still playing at such an incredibly high level, but you also have to give yourself options.
Totally.
For sure. Okay, let's keep moving. I love this. We've got the game show portion of this thing coming up right now, and I want to go over it with you. Should I flash the audience, or should I just I meant flashcards.
Please don't.
I meant flashcards. No. I do have them here. So here's some scenarios, all right? Draft thermometer, right? Really quick,
all right.
Okay? Here's a draft thermometer. Cornerback, wide receiver, edge rusher, offensive line, running back. There are five position groups in there. Again, cornerback, wide receiver, edge, offensive line, and running back.
Okay.
As far as the heat meter goes on the need of the Colts getting those, here are the categories. Sizzling, hot, room temperature, or chilly. And again, the five position groups are cornerback, wide receiver, edge rusher,
right,
offensive line.
Let me help you out here with the I'll be Vanna White.
Yeah,
for you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
There are four descriptions on the heat meter, and there are five positions. So are we able to use?
No, you can mix and match.
Yeah, you can use the same.
So if I can use hot
more than
three
once.
Times,
you can.
If
yeah,
I
yeah
to.
You can
absolutely.
Go all hot,
sizzling
all hot
if
all
you
day.
Wanted to. I'm going to start with LO on this one. Okay, the heat meter is as follows: sizzling, hot, room temperature, and chilly. Let's start at the cornerback position. Where you at?
I think it's hot.
Let me see it.
Here we go.
Let me see it.
We're going GIF form from Airplane.
Oh, I love that. Name that actor.
I don't know who that actor
Robert,
is.
Robert.
Oh, don't look at me.
I'm half right on that.
It's
one.
What's your vector, Victor?
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah,
but that's the famous scene right there where he's sweating bullets.
We're calling it hot.
He is hot.
Cornerback position hot. Matt Taylor, where are you at?
I would say hot as well.
Go ahead. Give me it.
Yep.
Give me it.
Ta-da.
There he is.
Yep. Sweating bullets. Yeah, just be, like we talked about earlier. I mean, Jalen Jones, rookie last year, 7th-round pick. Juju Brents. Obviously, I think he's a starter if he can stay healthy, but the fact is, you know, he missed, what, eight games last year, started 9. Dallas Flowers going into year number 3, but he only has 5 starts under his belt, coming off an Achilles tear in week number 4. You know, where are these guys? Obviously, Chris Ballard last Friday, you know, very high on him, thinks the ceiling is very high, but I think it's, you know, he likened it to 2 years ago when the offensive line had their ups and downs. Certainly last year, the secondary had their ups and downs. But the offensive line was veteran. This is a little bit younger. And I think they can take the next step. But, you know, the idea of supplementing that secondary with a high draft pick, a guy that's got a lot of talent coming from college football, and obviously, you know, the ceiling being very high here in the NFL, that obviously entices me. Wouldn't hate that move at all. In fact, I would really, really like it. But, you know, it's one of those things you have to balance in the first round, like we always talk about. Like, is it the best move to draft the second or third best corner, or potentially the fourth or fifth best wide receiver, knowing that the depth at receiver is deeper than it is at corner, and maybe you get, you know, a better bang for your buck in the second round at the receiver position. But no, that's something I'm watching is how do the Colts address, or do they address, the secondary, knowing that the pieces they have coming back played a lot and they're going to be kind of proven and they're going to be through the wars a little bit through one season. But at the end of the day, you know, the quarterback slate's better next year. The overall offensive slate they're going to see is better next year. You know, these guys are – they're going to be asked to do a lot next season. A lot's going to be on their shoulders.
All right, Lara, we're going to the wide receiver position group right here. Remember, Ballard had said earlier in the week, what was it, Maddie? 19 of the 32 first-round draft picks will be legitimate first-rounders. Is that what the grade is?
He said he had 19 to 21 first-round grades.
First-round grades, yeah. 32 teams in there, so you do the math. Wide receiver we're going to now as far as the temperature of that one goes. If you need a reminder, Lara, it is sizzling.
Read those off for me
again. It is sizzling. It is hot. It is room temperature, and it's chilly. Wide receiver.
I'm going to go hot with this as well. I'm playing consistency.
Back to hot.
You've proven, you know, with what you have with Pittman and Downs, and, you know, you have some emergence from Alec Pierce, who's looking to find more consistency in this offense. I think you do need a few more pass-catching weapons for Anthony Richardson.
Staying hot. Mate, what do you got?
I'm going to take it up.
Let's go, Vanna.
I like my steak a little bit more.
Wow.
Well
with ranch.
Done.
Nice steak. Yeah,
with sometimes a little dip in ranch. Okay, that's a topic for a different podcast. Okay, but I'm going sizzle. This is my sizzle meter here with a little sear on the steak.
Oh, it's a great way.
All right, and I say that even though the Colts have re-signed Michael Pittman Jr. and you've got Josh Downs coming back and Alec Pierce and Anthony Richardson coming back, I think within the offense, the biggest storylines or whatever you want to call it, the two biggest things that I'm looking for on offense this offseason is how does Anthony Richardson settle back in? How does he come back healthy? How does he prove himself again to be, I think, an above-average pocket passing quarterback in terms of the accuracy? Because we saw that last year. The arrow was up on that last year. Second is, and I think probably the most important is, can this offense lighten the box with the personnel that they have next season to help Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor in the running game, and for the passing game to be more explosive on the outside and outside the numbers? I think it's imperative for the Colts to bring in talent in this draft that can win outside the numbers. Michael Pittman Jr. can do that, but I think he's going to make his money. He's going to make his hay in the middle of the field between the numbers. I think the Colts have to bring in somebody that can stretch the field outside and vertically for this offense to really hum under Anthony
Richardson. Lara, Mate's cooking steaks on the wide receiver room. What say you?
She just went hot.
You just went hot on that thing, too. I was right. I'm sorry.
I doubled down.
I'm going back to the edge rusher. Sorry.
Yes. No, you're good.
Going back to the edge rusher. Temperature, draft choice comes up. It's an edge rusher. What do you say?
Okay. It's room temp for me. Room temp.
There you go.
76 is a room temp? Oh,
yeah,
no.
I printed this off. I'm like, this is somebody cold-blooded. This
oh
is
my
like,
gosh. We just had a whole perfectly like marital back and forth when we were on vacation because I cranked it down to 65.
See, I'm with you. I'd like it cold.
Dan was like, I don't want to get out of bed because it's too cold out there.
And so, by the way, temperature stayed at 65, didn't it?
we like met in the middle, like 70.
Okay. Okay.
What's
your
thermometer
set? Good compromise.
68. Yeah.
So it's room temp.
I'm a 68 guy too.
Room temp for me.
Yeah.
The reason being, you didn't get as much edge pressure last year as you would have liked. Obviously, Samson Ebicom had a great season. Mm-hmm. I think that, and you did set the franchise sack record for single season and all of that. I do think that from the guys who you have, you need to see more from that group. And I do think that the addition of Charlie Partridge is going to take that group to another level with what he has been able to do and his proven track record working with defensive lines. So part of me feels that, if you reinforce that group with talent, that's great, sure, you add some guys in there. But I think even with the same rotation of guys you have on that front, they will be elevated in terms of their ability to get to the quarterback this season because of the addition of a guy who's not even stepping on the field, but the guidance of that group solely and surely.
And Mate, while we're here on this edge rusher, it's a big difference. Hold
by
on
way,
a minute.
This is Robert Hayes, by the way.
I understand Robert
I'm
Hayes.
Sorry.
But hold on a minute. You get an edge
Robert
guy.
Robert Hayes is also who the track is named after at Indiana University.
Oh, really? Same. Robert Hayes?
No, that's it's wrong.
Probably a different guy,
No, Robert
right?
Hall. I got that wrong.
I was
going
to say, the guy from Air
Billy
Plane.
Hayes. Billy Hayes track. Robert
Ted Stryker?
That's like the, I combined them.
Ted Stryker, that's a good one. Boy, you got me thrown off on this.
Sorry.
Edge rusher to you is, that's a tough question because if you're sitting at 15 and there's a premier edge rusher there,
right.
Or Matt, you're sitting in the middle of the fourth and there's an edge rusher there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I understand you want depth and everything, but
sure.
If you're talking about two different players, a first and a fourth rounder.
I'm with Lara. It's probably room temperature for me.
But bring that 76 down a little
bit. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's a little balmy inside a little bit.
Balmy.
I agree for all the same reasons. I mean, we forget last year, the Colts set a franchise record for sacks in a single season in the Indianapolis Colts era dating back to 1984. But I will agree that there is room for improvement. Obviously, the Colts felt it a need enough to make a switch at that defensive line position coach. Charlie Partridge is in here, and they think that he can obviously get more out of that group collectively. I think Raekwon Davis is going to help the run when DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart are out of the game so that there's still, enough attention inside to let the guys on the outside feast. But again, Kwity Paye is coming into an option season. And if that option's not picked up, then he would be a free agent next offseason. Same thing with Dayo Odengbo. So you're going to have decisions to make there. And it's like offensive line. You can never have enough depth and enough punches along the defensive line. So if you feel like at pick 15 or maybe at pick 46, a guy that you can mold and maybe one day turns into a double-digit sack guy or is flirting with 8-9 sacks by year two, year three, then I don't have – if you're convicted about that position, the roster is so well put together right now with previous drafts, in-house free agents, that I don't think you can go wrong, because you're going to be supplementing and adding depth to key positions regardless of where the Colts pick at the top of this draft.
Lara, offensive line, where's the heat meter on that one?
That's kind of room temp for me as well. I'm going to go back with the same. I'm very consistent here at this point. It's not necessarily an urgent need, but I do think that you have some areas where you can increase competition along your offensive line, and that's something that you're always seeking to do within any offseason, whether that's draft, free agency, all of those things. So not a drastic area of need like what you had a few years ago when you had not established consistency of the left tackle position.
Totally.
Obviously, you have done that with Bernard Raimann.
Yeah, Raimann's here, 100%. Right.
So, yeah, I think room temp, but again, if you can add some value and you can add some competition and some talent across that offensive line, I think
it's going
to
happen.
Let's be honest.
There's an edge that's going to be addressed this draft, and there's an offensive lineman that's going to be addressed.
The Colts have drafted an offensive lineman every year since 2002.
Sure.
Obviously, that way predates Chris Ballard. And he said it on Friday. Again, I go back to what he said. There's quality offensive line depth. Offensive line and receiver are the two deepest positions in this draft, according to Chris.
Okay.
All the experts. So the Colts are going to bring in offensive line talent to add depth somewhere, because he said we can get it on day two, we can get on day three, whether that's the fourth round, the sixth round, we're going to get a guy that's going to be in our rotation next year in this draft.
How about that? Lara, go to running back. Let's see. What do you think?
That one's chilly for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you've invested already
our lot. First chilly, huh?
Yeah first, that's it. Chilly.
That's Lara.
Who is that?
That's Lara on January 15th watching playoff football right there.
Yeah, that was Lara in Cincinnati this last year is what that was, for sure. I'm a little hand warmers.
Right.
It's chilly. You've obviously, you have Jonathan Taylor, Evan Hull. You're intrigued with what he can do. Obviously, he missed all of last year due to injury. Exciting position to see what addition he can make, what versatility potentially he can add to that group. You have some guys, obviously, who are already in the building behind Taylor. You've seen what they give you.
Yeah.
So not out of the question that maybe day three that something kind of falls in your lap for that position. But certainly, I think, to me, that's, the least on the temperature scale of the position.
I get that. I'm actually going to go a little bit different. I'm going to say hot.
Wow.
I'm going to say hot just because you lost Zach Moss in free agency.
Yeah, that was huge.
We know what he meant to the consistency of the running game when Jonathan Taylor was out of the lineup for a variety of reasons last year. I just don't know. I think someone will probably emerge. I mean, if you had to play a game today, obviously Jonathan Taylor is your bell cow.
I liked what Trey Sermon gave you last year.
Yeah.
I'm really high on 100%. Trey and his opportunity to potentially be that number two guy and step into a bit of – he's not exactly a Zach Moss, but kind of a Zach
could
Moss
be,
role.
Though. I mean, could be, though. This is a young player like that, and he's a big-bodied guy as well, you know.
And I think that Pittsburgh game last year proved that. I mean – just such a tip of the cap in terms of the maturity and the professionalism of both Tyler Goodson and Trey Sermon in that game, the way they stepped up and the offense didn't miss a beat. I don't know. Again, I think someone would probably emerge because I think both those guys are made up of the right stuff. I mean, I just don't know, again, if you played a game today, who your backup three down back would be. And we forget, too, Evan Holt's coming off an injury, tore his meniscus week one, didn't see him the rest of the season. Obviously, the book on him coming out of college at Northwestern was that he was a great pass-catching back. But I just always think, too, in general, I think it's always good practice to draft a running back every year. And some years it might be fifth, sixth, seventh round. I think it's always good practice to continue to add to that position, put another horse in the stable there because of the nature of the position that they play and the contract and the value you can get from a rookie or a guy on a rookie contract playing that position. I always think that's a good idea to draft a running back every year.
Also, one thing with the departure of Zach Moss, obviously that's been a while back, but every time we talk about Zach Moss, there's that Outkast lyric about Randy Moss that would like pop in my head, and I'm really going to miss like referring to that. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, but really, I mean, please, by all means, rap for me.
I'm not going to, but I did have to look it up for sure, but it's like I catch a beat running like Randy Moss, but I would always imagine be like, Zach Moss. Like, you know, I just drop Zach in. And said,
do you want to do the karaoke version on the computer
absolutely,
right now?
No, absolutely.
We can find
No question. I'm not going to do it. But it is the whole world if you want to look it up and play it yourself.
Excellent.
So,
Zach Moss in for Randy Moss. Mate, here it is. It's up to you.
Uh-oh.
It's up to you.
What are you doing right now?
I'm going to do this thing right now. You want to call your shot? You want to tell me a position group that they're going to go over at 15? Do they stay at 15? Is he grabbing a wide receiver? Is there a tight end over there? Is there a defensive lineman that all of a sudden surfaces that's available? Mate, if you want to, I know you're covering this draft. If you want to
quarterback, call your shot.
Yeah, there's where I can go. That's the position where I know I can bust out the freezing.
That's where I know
we're not going to draft a quarterback.
Okay.
At least not on Thursday or Friday. Let's put it that way. I'll just keep it real general. I think it's, I mean, with the 15th overall pick or, like you said, the Colts' first selection, whether that's a trade up or trade down in the first round, my gut says it's going to be someone in the secondary. Probably a corner, right? And the general consensus is that the two best corners might be still around in the neighborhood of 15, you know, early teens, or maybe if the Colts trade back to late teens, 20s. You know, you always hear about Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, Terrion Arnold, outstanding cornerback out of Alabama. If it's either of those two guys, wouldn't be shocked at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, again, this is draft 101. The general consensus is that there's three guys at the top of the draft that play the wide receiver position that are probably going to be gone. And then, not that there's a big drop-off, but there is a drop-off between those three guys and then the next bunch, if you will, and we can debate how big that next bunch is, but I still think you're going to get, 80-85% of those top three guys later on in the second round if the Colts wait, and knowing, too, that the drop-off between the top corners and the next bunch is steeper. It's a bigger gap compared to the receivers.
Ooh, interesting stuff. Interesting the interest is you talked about those three receivers. Well, I'm going to throw four quarterbacks in there. Or is it five? Or who's going to be moved? My point is this. The shaking and shifting
of this board in the next couple days,
what comes up at 15, and if there's premier players there, we're talking about, we've went over the gamut of cornerbacks, wide receivers available at 15 because of the need of other teams, and all of a sudden you see a guy like, wow, Michael Penix went 10 overall. It's like, nobody saw that. Not saying that's going to happen, but
right.
I'm just saying the outside curveball.
I think you're exactly right, and just to play devil's advocate too, the Colts have traded back or out of the first round under Chris Ballard four times. They've never traded up, okay? But also keep in mind, they've got their quarterback. 22 starters are coming back.
Right.
All right, now I'm going to start talking like I'm on Dateline here, okay?
Yeah,
like
Keith
it's
Morrison.
Just really
regular neighborhood.
Did you know Keith Morrison is Matthew Perry's stepfather?
I did not know that. But a normal Saturday morning in the neighborhood.
To finish my point is that might this be the year?
Yeah.
Where Chris Ballard says, again, what's separating us from winning the division and taking that next step? Difference makers.
And Colts
owner. What are you willing
to give
up? How do we get a difference
maker?
Colts owner Jim Irsay out there.
Big time difference maker.
Yeah, Colts owner Jim Irsay out there putting it in the paper. Talk to Chappell, talk to Stephen Holder from ESPN. But with Chapp, he said, hey, you know, you want a premier guy? Go after a wide receiver, number one, who's he's calling Marvin Harrison Jr. and stuff. But he's like, you never know, but it couldn't be off the table, but it's going to take a lot and stuff. I mean, you see those little crumbs that are being thrown around draft.
Right.
Something to keep an eye on. LO, I would ask you the same question. What are they going to do? Take your shot.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that because why? You're behind the curtain. And with that, what I mean is behind the Colts. Obviously, one of the documentary style, that's awesome that you guys win awards for. We got two episodes now. Number one, give me a quick recap of the second episode and what we're going to look forward to and the footage that you'll get with this upcoming draft.
Episode two released on Tuesday night, and the title of that episode is All the Smoke. And it's pretty fitting for, like, that's kind of what
it's 9 minutes of just I'm on the edge of my seat.
13 plus.
Learning stuff.
13 plus.
13 plus?
13 plus minutes.
It was so good, I lost track of time.
13 plus minutes. And, you know, one of the things that, whether it's been, you know, behind the Colts or with the next pick or all of the different series that our entire team, you know, led by Dave Knickerbocker and Matt Wilkening controls most of the, you know, the editing and all of behind the scenes of putting that together, but it's every single person within content and production. But, always trying to evolve it and show something different, right? Because you can only show so much, right, that's being gathered because there are some things that are confidential that you have to protect, especially until after the draft. But then we can flash back to maybe some conversations about a guy that you take. Really dove into what this process of April is like and getting to know those key personalities and some of the like quirkiness and what makes this group of scouts with the leadership of Chris Ballard and Ed Dodds function so very well. And some of the, you know, contentious might be a little bit strong, but there are some like tough conversations that have to be had. And we really are able to show you those and what's behind those and why having this group together for as long as they've been together makes such a difference when you're at a critical period of evaluating players. And there's an interesting breakdown that Todd Vasvary, who is one of the most senior scouts within this organization, this is his 30th draft. Like, shout out to Todd. Shout out to Todd. Like, he's unbelievable. And he talks about these different comparisons, which, and I could botch this, but definitely watch the episode. Todd explains it much more eloquently than I do. But, okay, who is he like? That's a comparison to a player who is in the league or who has been in the league.
Right.
Who is he?
Who's competing with?
Who is
he? Who on our team, right?
Right, who on our team. And then who is he better than, which is who comparing him to who's within this draft. So there are – it's really some interesting dynamics that you get to see. I was actually told that there has been more buzz about this episode in certain circles than any other that we have produced. So it was really, really fun. Shout out to Chris and Ed for allowing us the access. Also, our scouts, Todd, Mike Lacey, Anthony Coughlin, for allowing us to.
I'm going
to
go party at their house, by the way. Like, looks like a good
I want to hang
time.
Out in Todd's office, right?
Yeah. Like, although they're probably just watching film, you know what I mean?
Exactly. There's grinders, you know. So it was really, really fun and love doing this and providing that different look. And then we'll have another episode that recaps the entire draft coming out for you later next
week. Amazing. Really great. Award-winning work. Hats off to you and the crew that does it. Mate, you and I, you know, we just sit on the microphones and watch these things happen. And if you want to get inside of, like all football fans do in NFL, and get behind the curtain, like I say, I know it's cliche.
It's the best.
But that is it because of the availability that Chris Ballard and company have opened up for you. Well done, LO. Well done on
I can't take all the credit.
I'm going to give you all the credit. Inside Football, remember this, coming up on the Colts Audio Radio Network, Inside Football with Coach Rick Venturi comes out on Wednesday with Rick's top positions of need and the biggest offseason questions he wants answered during the draft on the final Inside the Draft podcast that's coming out on Thursday with Jeff Diamond, our buddy. We're going to talk about that former GM of the Vikings and the Titans. We're going to have live draft coverage on Thursday and Friday nights again, starting at 7 p.m. on our flagship stations in Indianapolis and also streaming on Colts.com and the Colts mobile app. And we're going to have instant reaction and overtime podcast after each day of this draft weekend on the Colts Audio Network as well. It's all there. All you got to do is find them at Mate Colts, at Lara Overton. I got that right.
You
right
did.
Right on Twitter.
Home runs.
But hey, great stuff today. Thank you for all your help you do production-wise. LO, thank you. I know it's a busy week. Matt, you're going to be out at Top Golf. LO, you're going to be here, obviously. We're
Yeah, holding down the fort.
Friday's going to be a big day. You're going to be awful busy. The number one draft choice will be in the building.
Yeah,
I mean, 99% sure, unless he's, you know, on a family vacation in Beijing.
That would be something. But either, you know, whether we've had situations where the guys have been at the draft, we've had situations where guys have been elsewhere with their family, like Quiddy Pay was in Denver watching with his family, but
still
came in the building on Friday, so it was just a little later arrival.
Hey,
so
you never know.
We've had good luck with getting guys in.
Could be the next Hall of Famer in wearing a horseshoe on their helmet. Could be going in this draft. You never know. Anyway, Connor, thanks a lot. Big help on the production angle. Can't wait. This is a huge week for us. Maytay, I know you're especially busy. You're going to be out at Top Golf on that thing. Larry, you're going to be here, so Hey, I appreciate you guys sitting down. Let's talking about this thing. But most importantly, let's have fun and watch this team grow and watch Chris Ballard do his thing. And, of course, as Anthony Richardson goes, so does this Colts team. And just can't wait to find out what pieces are added in from there. So
yep, no doubt.
Thanks for your time. We're going to talk to you next week. And go Colts, as always.